Our text from the Hebrew Scriptures today comes from the book of Kings, chapters 19, verses 7 through 13. This is a story about Elijah the prophet. And again, these are ancient texts that speak new life each time we hear them and we encounter them. So as I read these words, think about how these connect to you at this particular point in your life, this particular point on your faith journey. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank, and then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave, and he spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, just quick kind of self-inventory. How are you doing this morning? Feeling pretty good? Feeling pretty good? Great, great, great. You should. It's June. It is June, folks. And we're closing on the official beginning of summer. Now, it's warm outside. How bad could it be? Right? Okay. Now, you know, I have a hard time with cold weather. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So I complain throughout the cold weather. So when it gets warm, I love it. Bring it on. Triple digits, bring it. Lots of humidity, I love it. I love it. I do not complain when it gets hot because it's beautiful. Now, despite that, traditionally and typically, summer is a rather dormant time in the life of the local church. Now, it's time for vacations and parties and festivities, a lot of other places, but at church, programs tend to kind of slow down or cease for the summer. Choirs take a break. Music takes a break. Attendance drops. You know how church life works. And I don't especially like the attendance drop part at all because I miss you. I miss seeing your beautiful faces each week. But anyway, that's just what happens. That's just what happens. But there is an upside to it. There is an upside to life in the church during the summer. Summertime functions for us as an in-between time of sorts. You know, it's a time or season that lies between times and between seasons, and that we tend to wrap things up in the spring. We're wrapping things up right now with graduations, right? And we just honored our graduates, our high school graduates and other graduates, and there are a lot more that we have and people that you know. It's just graduation. It is just a symbolic time for the closing of one season. And sometimes we call graduation by another name. Do you know what we call it? Starts with a C. Commencement. Commencement. We call this graduation a commencement because while one phase of our lives is ending, another is beginning. Another is commencing. All right. And then there's summer. There's summer that delays this commencement. This new start. It's that which stands between what is or what was and what will be. Summer's a strange time. And if you really think about it, these next couple months actually are what prepare us for commencement. We use this time. We should use this time for what comes next. And I was thinking about this, and that's traditionally what I use summer for in my own life. I usually take time and I just think through things. I think, you know, what's coming next? What's the next step on my journey? What should it be? You know, what should I be doing at this moment in my life? Because my life is a most precious and unique gift of grace to me. I do not want to squander it. I do not want to waste it. So summer Very important time. It's sacred time. It should not be squandered. It should not be wasted. So with that in mind, this morning, I want us to start a conversation that will engage our hearts and our minds and our voices over the next few months and weeks, or weeks, maybe not months. And hopefully that it will get us to begin to think individually and collectively about this new place in time, where we find ourselves right now. You know, and hopefully by the end of this summer, we'll get to that proverbial, you know, land flowing with milk and honey. So this summer, I want us to think through and discuss what it means to be a community of faith. What does it mean at this point in your life? What does it mean to be part of a community of faith? What does faith look like? Things have changed, folks, but what does it look like right now? All right, so let me set the scene for you. Purely hypothetical, this did never happen to me. I just want to get that up straight. Now, sorry, but it's happened to you. But it has happened to you. And so here it is. I want you to think back in your life to an individual relationship that you have had at some point, and a strong relationship you had at one point, but you have lost contact with this person. And it's been years, maybe decades, since you've talked to this person, communicated with them in any way. And here at this particular point, this summer, you have decided that you want to contact them. You want to somehow reestablish that relationship that has been severed for some reason. For good or for bad, whatever reason. So what you decide to do, you decide that you're gonna go to them. You're gonna go to them. You're not gonna send a letter in advance. You're not gonna call them. You're not gonna email them. You're not gonna text them. You're just gonna go to them. Out of the blue. Unannounced. So you do it. You get to their house or wherever they are, and you knock on the door. You knock on the door, and you wait nervously. And what seems to be an eternity, after what seems to be an eternity, the door opens. And there is your long-lost friend. And they are wordless. They cannot come up with the right response to your presence there. They don't know how to respond. The words will not come. Their body is frozen. On the other hand, you've been practicing. You've been practicing for this moment. You know exactly what you're going to say when your friend opens that door and what you're going to do. And so what you do, in fact, you have the posture down. So as the door starts opening, you put your arms out like this. And when they are, you go, well. And then you wait. And you wait. And you wait for that response. And after what seems to be, you know, years, but it's not really, it's only seconds, you get the response. Not one that you anticipated. Five words that begin with an interrogative. Five words. And when you hear this, you're not sure what to make of their response. You're not sure what to do. And, you know, you remember probably back in December of this past year, we're getting ready for Christmas. And we read the story, it's found in Luke, about the Annunciation to Mary. You know, about Jesus' birth. And you remember Gabriel was talking to Mary and says this to Mary. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Now, I love that text, but that's kind of what I'm starting to picture here at your friends talking to you. And Luke writes this. She was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. So what's going on when your friend says those five magic words? You're trying to figure out what that means. You know what those words are? Exactly. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And you start to ponder. You may think it's no big deal, but it is a big deal. Everything depends on this line and how you interpret this line, right? You know, wherever you put the emphasis. This is your long lost friend. What are you doing here? That's great news if they say it like that, right? Oh, great. What are you doing here? Come on in. But then they may follow it up with this initial greeting with a more limited view. What are you doing here? Which puts you on the defensive. What are you doing here? But then it could be really bad. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? meaning, what is happening? What's going on here? What are you doing here? The locative. You exist in my space. Why? All right. The 19th chapter of the book of Kings. Elijah's running for his life, right? Jezebel, notorious Jezebel's out to kill him. Literally, she is going to kill him. And he's frantic. He takes off and he scrambles out of there. And he goes wherever you go when you're trying, when your life is in turmoil. When you don't know what to do, you go to the desert. You go to a wilderness. That's where you find yourself, both literally and metaphorically. And you go there and you try to figure it out. That wilderness becomes a sacred space for you. Well, Elijah found his way to the wilderness at Mount Sinai. Now, remember, Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb are the same place in the tradition. Just depends on what tradition you are examining, what textual tradition. Well, the writer of 1 Kings puts it this way. He got up and ate and drank, and then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave, and he spent the night there. 40 days and 40 nights. Ring any bells? You ever heard that before? I think so. Back it up. Back up to Noah. Going back to the book of Genesis. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And the question there was not, what are you doing here? No, that wasn't the question. No, the question was something like this. What are we going to do when the rain stops? What do we do then? Or maybe a better way might be to put it is this. What are we going to do when we get another chance? And the Israelites, with Moses leading them, you know, they make a break for their lives out of Egyptian bondage. They head toward the promised land. And they wander and they wander into the wilderness for how long? 40 years. That's how long. And en route, they stop by Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. Sound familiar? Yeah, we just read about it with Elijah. Even though Moses and friends are there 400 years prior to Elijah. Anyway, Moses gets there. He goes up on the mountain. 40 days. And there he gets the law of God. You know, the Ten Commandments and all those other wonderful things. Direction for how the Israelites are to reorder their lives. How to bring order out of chaos, out of the wilderness, bring you out of the wilderness. The prophet Jonah cries out to the city of Nineveh, 40 more days, and the city will be overthrown. That's good news to Jonah. We don't like those folks. Bring it on. But then what happens after 40 days? Well, let me read it to you. The people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. They changed direction. 40 days. Mark writes, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Skip on down, and the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days. Now remember, 40 is this symbolic period of time, complete period of time, to accomplish something. Something is accomplished by you or by God or by just the universe. Then the word of the Lord came to him, meaning Elijah, saying, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. 40 days. So Elijah prepares to encounter God. That's what these days have been meant for. And, you know, how do you encounter God? What, do you just brace yourself? That's what Elijah tends to be doing here. He expects power and might and destruction and fury. There was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks. But the Lord was not in that. That's not what it was about. Oh, it's an earthquake. That's not where the Lord was encountered. The fire, that's it, the fire. No. And after the fire, the sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And there it is, the question. The question. But how did God ask it? How did God ask that question? Where did God put the emphasis? What are you doing here, Elijah? And it was in the sound of sheer silence that Elijah found his response. We've talked about before, I think it's Kathleen Norris, it might have been Karen Armstrong, it said, silence is the lap of God. 40 days, and Elijah found the lap of God. 40 days. I think the last day of traditional school, not year-round, no, come on, let's not get off on that here, okay. Traditional school was just last Friday. So it's done. Summer's here, right? Okay, now, the best I can calculate it, you know, we don't just have 40 days to work with in this in-between time. No, we've been given a gift. We have 77 days until the first day of traditional school starts. 77, that's weird, 77. Seven's a perfect number. It's the earthly number of four plus the heavenly number of three, seven. You see it all the time throughout the scriptural tradition. And we got 77. By chance, sure, that's all right. But for the next 77 days, we're going to be on a journey in this in-between time. And the journey is a great metaphor. And it works well when wrestling with issues of life and faith. It works well because it reminds us that faith is never static. You never arrive. You never arrive. It's always developing and growing and moving. The Israelites moved to the promised land. Moses went up the mountain. Elijah went up that same mountain. Jesus went out into the wilderness. And they went for a season, for a period of time. They went in search of meaning, and you know what? They all found it. And we're going to find it together. So Jesus put it this way. The time is now. The kingdom of God has come near. So change your direction and go. The time is now, so I ask you, what are you doing here? That's the ultimate question with your life. What are you doing here? We'll talk more about that in a couple weeks. We'll see you then. Thanks be to God. Amen.